Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
I decree and declare that the Prince of Peace has grabbed you by the hand and he's pulling you through this narrow tunnel, and there's a birth that's coming forth in the name of the Lord, a new birth, not of salvation, but a new mentality, glory to God, and peace will guard your life.
Bishop Clark says, a growth mindset is how we, the people of God, approach situations, and while going through the process, we are actually learning during it.
You're not going to worry about what you can't change. You're going to give God the praise and trust him to handle the things that you can't. Can somebody say amen?
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to the Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of the International Ministries of Truth Revealed, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida. Today, Bishop Clark talks about the last words that Peter wrote, probably shortly before he was crucified outside Rome, upside down on an X cross at his own request, because he felt that he was unworthy to be crucified the way Jesus was crucified. Grab your Bibles and let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, along with verse 18, as Bishop Clark begins the message, Last Words, Fresh Start.
Again, 2 Peter 2 and 18, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was thinking about conveying a thought today at the end. I'm going to pick up 8 o'clock service on Wednesday night and complete it. But I was thinking about conveying a thought or a text that would deal with shrinkage rather than growth. But some of us, we wait until the new year to get those New Year's resolutions, and they always include shrinkage. But I believe God wants us to expand. We've crammed a lot into this year. A lot has been crammed into us, and we need to shrink from it. A lot of disappointments have been crammed into us. A lot of setbacks have been crammed into our moment. A lot of depression has been crammed into us, and heartache has flooded our gates, and anxiety is troubling the mind, and a resolution sometimes seems to be appropriate rather than growth and expansion. But I hear the Lord just really speaking clearly that we need to minister on growth and expansion and not shrinkage. Empty yourself, cast your cares on him, for he cares. But we're going to minister on growth and expansion in the midst of setbacks. Amen. Glory to God. And I was talking this morning about God is the kind of God that calls those things which be not as though they were. In other words, you could be broke, you could be full of anxiety and depressed, but that's not what he calls you. He calls you successful. Come on, he calls you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, because God calls those things which be not as though they were. He called Abraham a father of many nations. At the time, the man had no children at all, but he still called him a father of many nations. He called David the man after my own heart, while he was a boy laying in the fields writing love songs unto the Lord. He wasn't even fully developed, but he said, I found a man after my own heart, because he called those things which be not as though they were. And we need to start picking that up, speaking the end result over our circumstance. God is looking for expansion. He's looking for growth, and he's looking for fruit. In other words, he wants us to progress. He wants us to experience increase and development. I said, God wants us to experience progress, increase, and development. Say it with me. God wants us to experience progress, increase, and development. Glory to God. Now grow. We're not going to wait until the new year to grow. Grow now. You can start your growth pattern by shifting your thinking. And now growth is something that was particularly important to the Apostle Peter, and he wanted the church to know it before he died, before he came to his own demise, as Jesus prophesied in John chapter 21. that you one day will go down a road, led down a road that you may not want to go. And John recorded it. He was prophesying of the manner of death that Peter would experience. Why would he let him know that? He also told him before that, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, stop hanging out on the golf course, man, and feed my sheep. If you love me, I need you to study to show yourself approved unto God and feed my sheep. If you really love me, take care of my lambs. Take care of the little ones, the ones that's in the spiritual nursery, the ones that may not have theology. Don't put them up on stage and got them doing this and that, and they don't know what to do, don't know how to work with God, never prayed, never went to a school of prayer, never went through anything to structure theology, don't know who God is, who God's Son is, the Holy Spirit, or what redemption is, or what justification is, or what propitiation is, or what at-one-ment is. None of those words mean nothing to them. Teach my sheep how to relate to me in my word. And Peter was faithful to do so. So growth is something that was particularly important to Peter right at the very moment, at the very beginning of his first epistle. He says something in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. It should be on the screen. In this you greatly rejoice. Should be this on the screen for 1 Peter 1 and 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if needed be, you have grieved by various trials. And I know there are people under the sound of my voice, it's hard for you to comprehend this. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a while you've actually grieved. You grieve over the various trials you've been going through. The Bible is saying that you should have an attitude of rejoicing and praising, even though you may be going through trials. And it's hard to do that unless you're born again. Who's going to tell you to rejoice when you just got fired, or you just went through a situation, or you got bad news, or something happened in your body that you can't explain? But the Bible says even though the various trials are there and you're grieving in your soul, sometimes God will hurt the soul to change perspective. So greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, remember, Peter is saying that there's a purpose for the trials, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold or money or annuities or resources or retirement, the purifying, the genuineness of your faith is greater than your resource. That's why God takes us through trials, because he's trying to show you something that he's doing with your faith. That the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. Now notice, he says, I love gold, right? We love gold, but that gold will perish. Glory to God. Though it is tested by fire, he's saying, I got to purify your faith like we purify gold. In other words, the refiner takes gold, because gold never comes out. It is never harvested or mined. It's never mined pure. You have to then take it to the fire, and the fire gets the impurities out of the gold. And so it is with your faith. I know right now people are talking about first start, fresh starts, but they're not talking about the genuineness of your faith that has to go through a process of trials to purify it. If you want your faith to work well, you got to go through trials still believing God, looking unto him, the author and the finisher of your faith. While you're going through, keep your head lifted up. I know sometimes the enemy wants you to hold it down when you get some bad news and your heart is hurting. But Bible says rejoice, hallelujah, with great joy, lifting up your head, because he's doing something with your faith while you're going through. Glory to God. Look at this. The scripture says the genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So here the faith is trying to take you back to Jesus, trying to take you back to Jesus. He says, I need to purify your faith that when someone calls Jesus' name, you won't have impurities in your faith, which will block the knowledge of Christ. But when you go through a few things and you see God bringing you out, when the name of Jesus is cried out around you, it will make you look and pivot. The genuineness of your faith will make you say, whoa, if my faith is pure and they speak of a pure God, I will connect with him better. But if you don't go through nothing, your faith will still have impurities in it. And when the name of Jesus is called or when it's time to praise, you'll recline and rest and say, I'll be glad when it's over because I got some beans on the stove and I got some stuff I need to get to and the game is on because your faith has never gone through anything. But when you start letting God, hey, we went through something this year. Work on your faith. Good God for God. Let me tell you something about the refiner. He always puts the gold in the fire, and he goes back and looks for the impurities to rise from the gold, and he keeps looking. What he's looking for is his own reflection in the gold. He can tell when it's pure because when he looks at it, he'll see his own face in it. God wants to see his face shining when he looks at your faith. God wants to see his face reflected in your faith. And he'll keep you in the refiner's fire until he can receive his own face reflected in your faith. Thank you, Lord. Let's go back to the word again. This is 1 Peter chapter 1. We're looking at part B of verse 7. Glory to God. Though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy and inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In other words, we may not be perfect, but remember, you're in the refiner's fire, and eventually you will see him, you will be like him, for you will see him as he is, and the fullness of your salvation, the fullness of the salvation of your mind, your will, your intellect, your soul, your emotions, and your imagination will all be purified even through the trials that you go through. Can somebody say amen? Peter is awesome, man, because he's always talking to us about growth. In the first chapter, verse 6 through 9, he's talking about the growth of your faith. In the second chapter of 1 Peter, he talks about listening to the word of God and laying aside certain things. Verse 1 says, therefore, laying aside all malice and all deceit or guile and all hypocrisy and all envy and all evil speaking as newborn babes. Desire the sincere or the pure milk of the word that, look at this, that you may grow thereby. Why is he so much on growing and development and expansion when he's about to die? He's trying to set it in the lives of people as you close out a chapter, what you should be thinking about. How am I going to grow? How am I going to expand more? What do I need to do to overcome the trials of this era and this time, this chapter in my life, which is coming to an end? What do I need to do to set the course for the future? Glory to God, that you may grow thereby. Desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Verse 3, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So if you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, don't be satisfied with the taste. Get the whole roll. Grow in it. So if you sit down, you got a little taste, a little appetizer, okay? You know that God is gracious. You know that God is gracious. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge. You know he's gracious because he saved you. You know he's gracious, he didn't kill you. You know he's gracious, he brought you out. You know he's gracious, he's had you still standing. You know he's gracious, he's working in you the will of him and to do of his good pleasure. So if you know he's gracious, stop being satisfied with the taste of the Lord.
and let's grow in this thing. Let's get the whole roll. Let's eat the whole roll. Let's ingest what God wants. Let his nature and his spirit start working in you. Start thinking his thoughts and seeing life the way he see it. Let him begin to speak those things which be not as though they were, and you echo the same thing. Be God-like as it relates to that, and speak those things which be not as though they were. Grow in it. It's okay to start it. It's okay to get saved and then start coasting. It's okay to be touched by God. But how many of us want to be changed by the Master? It's okay to have a little pimples on your skin when you enter in the church. But how many of us want to submit to the will of God? It's okay to be sprinkled. But how many of us want to be baptized? Thank you, God. It's okay to have somebody put a cross on your head, a little oil. But how many of you really want to be smeared? It's okay to have the gift, one gift. But how many of you want nine working in you? It's okay to have one house. But what if God wants you to have seven? What if God wants you to start something that no one can stop, that's perpetual, and you can leave it to the next generation? What if God wants you to start a business? I know that you're okay with what you're doing. But what if he wanted to take you into the millionaire status? What if God wanted to do some bust a move on you and make you grow and expand to such a degree people from around the nation want to ask you, how did you do what you do? Is it possible? Please, I hope you're not in the foyer while I'm preaching my guts out. I hope you're coming in on the last Sunday to get a word from the Lord. I hope you didn't come here to pass business cards. I hope you came here to get something from the Lord that's going to push you into expansion and development and growth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 is right there. Lay aside all malice. If you want to grow, you got to lay it aside. You can't think evil of people when they walk in a room. All malice in your mind, all kinked up, always bitter, always saying things you shouldn't say, or deceit. You can't walk around in deceit or hypocrisy. Take off the mask. Don't take them off, but take off the mask. And one of the most dangerous things is to be envious of people. They don't even know it. You just got it in your heart, like a cancer in your soul. Get rid of it. And all evil speaking. Glory to God. My mother-in-law, who went on to be with the Lord this year, she used to say, evil communication corrupts good manners. I mean, that was one of her favorite sayings. Evil communication. If you start saying evil things, it will corrupt good manners. Your behavior will change. But guess what? If you speak positively, you speak the word of God, your manners will change as well. Glory to God. That tongue is a whirl of iniquity. James chapter 3, a whirl of iniquity. It even strikes the fire, or the fire that comes through the tongue actually pulls the fire from hell. Your tongue is the closest member of your body to hellfire. It can take hellfire out of hell and put it in your present circumstance just by speaking the wrong thing. It's a world of iniquity. James goes on to say, a horse is kind of directed by the bit that's in his mouth, and a ship is directed by a small rudder. And so in the members of your body is your tongue. You can redirect your life if you will speak the word of God. Lay aside evil speaking and start speaking pure things, things that are honest, things that are of a good report, and let God shape your world when he shapes your words. Then Isaiah chapter 53, I'm sorry, chapter 52, another Old Testament passage. God is always about growth. So Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 12 is on the screen. For you shall go out with joy. Well, Bishop, I don't feel like it. Listen, you're going to close this year with joy. Yeah. Go ahead and say hallelujah. Glory to God. I know it's been rough. Marion, I know it's been rough, but we're going out with joy. We're going to close this year out with a praise on our lips. We're going to give God glory for the things that went right. Believe me, 1,000 things went right for you to get to church this morning. Whew, can we think on those things? If you give him the praise, he'll take care of the matters that's on your heart. Can somebody say amen? You shall go out with joy. Look at this. And let out with peace. Who's leading you? That's right. Peace needs to lead you. Notice the Bible says you're going to go out with joy, but you're let out. Let out. Let out. Directed. Peace has to direct you.
leading you out. You're blind to it. But let peace lead you out or grab you by the hand and pull you into the new year. Come on, I decree and declare that the Prince of Peace has grabbed you by the hand and he's pulling you through this narrow tunnel, and there's a birth that's coming forth in the name of the Lord, a new birth, not of salvation, but a new mentality, glory to God, and peace will guard your life. You're not going to worry about what you can't change. You're going to give God the praise and trust him to handle the things that you can't. Can somebody say amen? Come on, lay it down on the altar. I'm laying down my sorrow. I'm laying down my pain. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord and the peace that guards my heart. I know you've been worrying and you're full of anxiety, but today peace is going to lead you out. Peace is going to pull you out. Depression can't hold you because peace is pulling you out. Come on, let's give God a praise and bust a move up in here. I feel the Holy Ghost up in here. Y'all gonna make me act a fool up in here. Up in here. Y'all gonna make me go all out. Come on, let's give God a praise. Y'all gonna make me go all out. Come on, we're coming out with joy. We're going to be let out with peace. Not with anxiety, not with sorrow, but with peace. Now, I shouldn't have to preach that out of you. Let's praise it out. Let's send a praise into the new year. Come on, Lord, I thank you for taking care of my year. I thank you for doing what I couldn't do. I thank you for resolving it all. Ooh, Jesus. If you go out with joy and be led out with peace, the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. Your environment will welcome your praise. You want your situation to change? You got to go out with joy. You got to be led out with peace. And then the mountains, those monumental things that are blocking your way, and the hills in your life that's hard to climb, shall break forth and sing. The mountain, the issue that's your greatest obstacle, will start singing praise to God too. I'm trying to preach to somebody that's going through some stuff that you haven't been able to see beyond. God says if you go out with joy and if you let out with peace, the mountains will break forth into singing. If you speak to that mountain, it shall be dissolved. And if you praise God, the mountain itself will sing. Glory to God. And all of the trees of the field will clap their hands. Come on, give me a hand clap. Clap, 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 clap your hand. Come on, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hand. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show. I don't see no faces smiling. I said if you're happy and you know it, your face will surely show. And clap your hand. Ah, thank you, God. The trees clap. The trees clap. And you shall be like one. Not just planted, but clapping. The trees clap. Trees of the field shall clap their hands. Watch this. Instead of the thorn, which is a curse, shall come up the cypress. Instead of the curse in your house, instead of the curse in your yard, instead of the curse in your family, the cypress is going to start coming out of the soil. Instead of the thorn will come up the cypress. Notice the cypress is evergreen. That's what it's known for. Evergreen. No matter what season you're in, it always stays green.
Psalm 89 and 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Unfailing love and truth walk before you as attendants. The God who cherishes what is adequate and acceptable must at the same time abhor what is immoral. He hates it. Our God is love, but he also reveals himself in Scripture as the God who loathes. Let's talk for a moment about injustice. God will not tolerate anything beneath his high standard of injustice. Specifically, he abhors the actions of people who swindle others in order to enrich themselves. He has a strong aversion to those who prevent justice by declaring the guilty innocent and the innocent guilty. He detests those who commit the ultimate act of injustice, which is murder. May the God of our salvation work through our efforts to do justice in law enforcement, the judicial, the executive, through and by fathers and mothers and leaders, not only in the church, but leadership in all forms. And it is my prayer that every one of you under the sound of my voice would seek to do justice.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's teaching, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us at The Word of Truth Revealed, P.O. Box 60128, Palm Bay, Florida 32906, or you can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For your personal copy of today's message, Last Words, Fresh Start, when you write or email us, use reference number 2112-2611. That's reference number 2112-2611. Or log on to our website and download the MP3. Help us unveil truth to the nations by becoming a partner with the International Ministries of Truth Revealed. We would like to thank you in advance for your consideration and for generously supporting this ministry. Connect with us, Trim Nation, by downloading the Truth Revealed Church app today. For Android users, go to the Play Store, and for Apple users, go to the App Store. Follow Trim Nation on social media by logging into Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or visit us on the web at truthrevealed.org. And now, a final thought from Bishop Clark.
Hate does not cure hate. Only love does. Sadness cannot lift sadness. Only joy can. And darkness can never cure darkness. Only light can. I decree and declare that you and I are men and women of light. We bring light to our communities, to our families, to our systems, to our churches, and to each other. Share the light of God's counsel, the light of God's word, the light of his presence, the light of his love with everyone you see. And when you do so, you carve out a bright future for yourself. Until next time, tune in to the Word of Truth Revealed.
Trials of the